While the years since the Affordable Care Act was passed have been full of legal conflict, political pushback, they've also been years of success for a program that has enrolled more than 11 million people who were formerly uninsured. But the political conflicts and legal challenges to the act have created pockets of underserved, people who were intended to get coverage, but because 22 states opted out of expanding their federal Medicaid programs for the poor, nearly 4 million poor, uninsured adults fall into a coverage gap zone. People aren't poor enough for traditional Medicaid and who make too much to be eligible for Obamacare subsidies. The biggest number of those people are in Texas, followed by Florida, where 850,000 people fall into the gap, along with 57-year-old Cynthia Lewis.
You might have some people out there that want to be taken care of and don't never want to do nothing with their life. But what about the people that was working and you know, want to work again and need to see the doctor and can't see the doctor because they ain't got no insurance, they ain't got no money, you know? Come on.
Now, Cynthia Lewis sounds pretty reasonable, and she's one of those 850,000 people in the coverage gap. Two people looking into what this means to live in this gap are Wilson Sayre, a reporter at WLRN, and Daniel Chang, healthcare reporter for the Miami Herald. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, John.
Hi, John.
So, Wilson, you met Cynthia here, and she sounds pretty reasonable, but is she really symbolic of that 850,000 people?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she was really, really excited when Obamacare rolled out. It would have been kind of the first time in several years that she'd had insurance. And everybody was saying, you know, call up, see if you can get insurance, see if you can get insurance. And so she called up and they denied her. She called up again because she thought they had to be wrong because everybody's been telling her that she can get insurance. And she has zero income because a debilitating joint pain made her leave her job. And so she has no income. And yet she can't get Medicaid, which seems to kind of not jive with our traditional understanding of what Medicaid is, which is a health insurance for the poor. But it's not. It's health insurance for poor who have certain connections, people who have kids or who are pregnant or who are disabled. So even people who make zero money, they still don't get Medicaid. And so kind of there's this confusion that erupted for people like Cynthia. And I mean, she sees an ad on her bus stop coming in to her house every day that says Obamacare, and it kind of rubs it in her face because she kind of feels that they didn't do the right thing. And this is, again, this is a Florida issue. Florida chose not to expand Medicaid, and she feels kind of left behind in this.
Well, you can hear the disconnect in the excitement that she expressed when she first discovered the program, and as you describe, goes through this sort of whole confusion zone.
Obamacare, you could get Obamacare, and you ain't got to be working, you know, because that's what it was all about at first. And all of a sudden, you get there, people say, and you got to have some kind of income. That's not what y'all said in the beginning.
So what do people in this gap need to do? Is there any option for them?
Well, there's certainly there's what's called charity care, which is a program that's run by the public hospitals, and they provide health insurance for a type of health insurance for people who are uninsured. And so she gets that. But what happened was because the Affordable Care Act was supposed to have a lot more people insured, there's less money for these programs. And so what happens is there's a lot more demand for these dwindling resources. So for things like specialist care, there's really long wait times. I mean, from 2 weeks to 6 months. And if you need a specialist, 6 months is a really long time to wait.
So Obamacare's demand for services suddenly puts the most underserved people like Cynthia Lewis at the very back of the line. And you can hear how frustrating that is for her.
The waiting is tearing me down. If I can find out what's going on, but when you don't know, this is a big problem. It's a big problem. It's frustrating. You don't know what's going to happen today, what's going to happen tomorrow, because you got to still sit here and wait on an appointment. It's bad. It's bad. I mean, by then, everything in my body could be done got worse.
So the charity option for Cynthia Lewis is suddenly less of an option because of the demand of people served by Obamacare. Daniel, as a policy matter here, Cynthia obviously cares. Does anyone else care about this?
Well, there are people who care, and certainly I think that the folks in the Florida Senate who have pitched a proposal for Medicaid expansion and the continuation of a supplemental funding program for hospitals that treat large numbers of folks like Cynthia, there's a plan in the Senate for this, but the folks in the Florida House and our Governor Rick Scott has also come out in opposition to this plan. And certainly there are a large group of healthcare advocacy groups, legal aid groups, and the folks, the healthcare workers themselves, who I believe you could say care about folks like Cynthia.
Now, the state of Florida passed this low-income pool called the LIP, but that's gonna basically expire at the end of June. Expanding Medicaid would solve this problem. Any expectation that that's going to happen? And what do the people in power say when they're asked that question?
Medicaid and the low-income pool are really supposed to work together. They're different programs, but they're designed to, A, Medicaid expansion, increase health care coverage among the currently uninsured, and reduce the need for direct funding of hospitals for their care. LIP will still be necessary because you'll continue to have uninsured who are either undocumented immigrants, folks who are refusing to buy health care, or even others who fall into this thing called the family coverage glitch. And what's happened is that the federal government has essentially told Florida that they don't want to continue the old way of taking care of the uninsured in Florida, which was through the low-income pool, a program that began in 2006. There is a new way under the Affordable Care Act where, again, you provide medical insurance through Medicaid to low-income people, and you continue to help supplement the care that hospitals provide to the remaining uninsured through a program like LIP. The governor has said that he doesn't want Obamacare, that Obamacare doesn't work. Medicaid expansion is part of Obamacare. And he last week announced that he was going to sue because the federal government is coercing the state into Medicaid expansion by linking LIP to Medicaid.
Sounds like a stalemate.
It certainly is, and we're all waiting with bated breath to see how it ends.
Wilson and Daniel, thanks so much. Great stuff.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Wilson Serra is a reporter at WLRN in Miami. Daniel Chang is a healthcare reporter for the Miami Herald. They co-produced a series airing this week on WLRN about living in the coverage gap. For more on the series, visit WLRN.org or check out the articles at MiamiHerald.com.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.